But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. I want you to notice with me this statement, the heaviness of his mother. And I'm going to speak to you for a few moments on the mother's burden. The mother's burden. The scripture says that the foolish son, so the contrast here, as well as throughout the entire book of Proverbs, is between wisdom and folly, wisdom and foolishness. And when we think about foolishness, please understand, we're not talking about ignorance. We're not talking about being silly or goofy or whatever we might describe to the word fool. I want you to understand that as the Bible uses the terminology, and in reference to any human being, but here in specific, in reference to a child, the child may be wise or the child may be foolish. Well, wisdom, according to the Bible, is very simple. It is the fear of the Lord, and that is to depart from evil. By contrast, the foolishness, or being a fool, is the neglect of God. For example, Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. That's repeated again in chapter 53 and verse number 1. When we go to the New Testament, we listen in as Jesus tells a story about a man who had been very successful in his business and was wondering what to do because he didn't have enough room to keep everything, all the profits. And so he said, I don't know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger. And I will say to my soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, for you have much laid up for you. And Jesus said that young man was answered with this thought, thou fool, this day thy soul shall be required of thee. I'm trying to help you understand for a moment the fool. And if you're a young man in this room, and young ladies, I think that though the scripture uses the son terminology here, that would be applicable to you as well. Please listen, young people. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother, is a burden to his mother. How do I show foolishness? By neglecting God, by making little of God, by determining that life is about everything but God. The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You have all the answers. You know better than mom or dad what ought to happen in your life. The Bible says to a fool, it's sport to do mischief. I have my fun by doing what's wrong. I do what I like rather than what's right. And to me, that's great fun, and that's what I enjoy. That's a fool. The Bible says the fool despiseth his father's instruction. Doesn't have any use for dad's counsel or instruction. The Bible says that the fool hath no delight in understanding. I'm not interested in you explaining to me anything. I know what I want to do. I know what I enjoy doing, and that's what I'm going to do. God is not in his thoughts. It's all about himself. I think it's interesting that we just heard that song about standing before the judgment seat of Christ. This is true of you young people in this room. And by the way, there are sons in this room that are aged, and we'll get to you in just a moment. But this is true. Number one, young people, you have been created for eternity. In other words, do you know that you're going to live as long as God lives? Your life will not end at 60 or 65 or 70 or younger if you happen to die. You will live forever. As long as God lives, you're going to live. You need to understand that. You're going to live in one of two places when you leave this earth. You're going to live in heaven with God, or you're going to live in hell apart from God in eternal torment. But you've been created for eternity. Number two, you need to recognize, as we just heard sung so well, you have an inescapable meeting with God. You're going to live forever. You're going to live as long as God lives, and you have a meeting, an appointment with God that you can't get out of. It will not be canceled. It will not be rescheduled. The schedule has been set. You will stand alone before God, your Creator, to give an account of your life. And number three, you need to recognize, young person, that God has given you clear directions and instructions as to what you ought to do with your life and how you can please Him in the course of your life. Those things are true of you. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. A mother's life involves a lot of heaviness, a lot of burden bearing. More, I think, than I truly imagine, and more, I suspect, than many of us who have never been a mother imagine. I do suspect that many who are women who have been mothers or are mothers understand what's being said. So let's go from this statement made in Proverbs 10 to an illustration of that in Genesis chapter 26, the first book of the Bible, and chapter 26. We have a father, and we have a mother. Genesis chapter 26. Isaac is the father. Rebekah is the mother. They have two boys, Jacob and Esau. In Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 34, the Bible records that one of those boys, Esau, was 40 years old. We're not talking about a child now. We're not talking about a baby. You know, a mother's burden begins when she looks into the face of her newborn child and wonders whether he will be wise or foolish. And she wants to do her very best to make sure that the outcome is wisdom rather than folly. And so she takes sacrificially the responsibility for doing what she can to accomplish that. And that's a burden that a mother bears. But now we're going to look at a mother who has a 40-year-old son. He makes his own decisions now. He's independent. He was 40 years old, Bible says, when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac, that's the father, and to Rebekah, that's the mother. Notice again, a grief of mind. The Bible says that a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And Rebekah is heavy. Rebekah is grieved by the actions of her adult son. So those of us in this room who listened to the exhortation of children a moment ago need also to be exhorted that you carry within your power the happiness or the hurtfulness of your mother. That's within your power. That's within your hands. You make that decision. And he makes a decision, Esau, that grieves his mother. He's the heaviness of his mother. Look at chapter 27. In chapter 27 and verse number 46, Rebekah said to Isaac, this is the mother speaking to the father, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. You know what she's saying? She's saying that Esau's choice of wives, which for a number of reasons would have been a grief to her. Number one, they were not of godly seed. They were ungodly women. They were women who did not know the Lord. They were women who were a choice made by the flesh rather than by the Spirit, rather by a self-determination rather than by the direction of the Spirit of God, and also perhaps because of their orneriness. I don't know. We don't know all the details that happened, but she said, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, so this is the second son now. Esau has made me weary of living. He has been a grief to me. He's been the heaviness to me. Now, if Jacob follows in his footsteps, if he takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? She said, I can't see any reason to go on living. I can't imagine any more good in my life, that I can have any kind of blessing in my life if Jacob follows his brother Esau in his decision making. So she and her husband decide to send Jacob away to another land where he has an uncle and where there are some relatives of theirs and where there are people who know and love God, and that with the hope that Jacob will take a wife, not from the Canaanites or the heathens around them, but from the family there. But I'm hoping that you've noticed now this living illustration of the truth expressed in Proverbs 10 and verse 1, that a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother, grief of mind, weary of life. What good shall my life do me? I'm finding it difficult, Rebecca is saying, to live my life with joy due to the foolishness of my children. The word heaviness is a very strong word. It means that it is more than I can bear. The first time you find the word mentioned, it's in Ezra chapter 9 and verse 5, when God has revealed to Ezra the great sin of God's people, and when he sees it, his soul is burdened and he's overwhelmed and he can't go on with life. Life, everything changes in a moment's time. In Psalm 119 and verse 28, the psalmist said, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." Without any doubt, I have learned in the course of my life that a mother's life is a burdened life. A mother experiences much of what we would call heaviness of heart and spirit. I do not by any means want to discourage any mother in this room, anyone who's about to become a mother, or anybody who's thinking about someday becoming a mother. I'm telling you, though, that a mother's life involves heaviness or burdens. And I'm telling all the children in this room, whether you be adult children like Esau, or whether you be young children, it is in your power, it is in my power to make our father and our mother glad. And can I add to that, God expects me and God expects you to do it. It's in our power to make them glad, and we're expected to do that. God put in a mother's heart the nature for your good. And when God placed that burden in a mother's heart, he knew it would be difficult. He knew it would be heavy. And he's a just God, and therefore he expects for her burden, for her willingness to bear that burden and be heavy in heart, he expects that to be recompensed by you and by me. So he counsels us. He commands us, honor thy father and thy mother. Someone pointed out that the frailty of infancy, there are two points in life where human weakness is very apparent. First of all, in infancy. And God provided for the weakness or frailty of infancy by putting an instinct into the heart of a mother. All that is needed for that child to survive that time of weakness, God has provided in the heart of his mother. On the other side of life, as we age, weakness becomes again a very apparent state of life. And God has not provided for that by instinct. He's provided for that by command. He has commanded us to honor our father and our mother. He's commanded us to love them. He's commanded us to take care of them. God knew our nature. He knew that we, in selfishness, as we age, would want to do our own thing. And God commands us to honor our father and our mother. Now, I want to move from that, but I want to make sure you understand me this morning. A mother's life is a burden life. It's a life which is prone to much heaviness because of the foolishness of her children. And folly simply means not hearkening unto God, not listening to God, wanting my own way, seeking to find pleasure in my own way. And this morning, my challenge to you, if you really want to honor mom on Mother's Day, you begin to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And you serve God and be obedient to God and choose God's way. And you will bring blessing to the heart of your father and blessing to the heart of your mother. But now let me talk to mom for a minute, because this is your day. You have a lot of heaviness, a lot of burden in your life. What do you do? How do you bear your burdens? How do you carry this heaviness? I'm going to give you three simple thoughts. Number one, you cooperate with God, or you work with God in the raising of your children. Mama will remind you that the scripture says, Psalm 127 and verse 3, that children are a gift from God. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. God brought those children into your home and into your life. Before you were aware of it, He already had it planned out. He already had determined what they would be and who they would be and what they would be like. All of those things were designed by God. And I assure you that God never starts something but what He intends to finish it. God doesn't begin a work just to leave it to somebody else to complete. Paul understood that. Paul said, I'm confident of this one thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of redemption. God has equipped your children with a conscience. God has given to your children a purpose. God is at work. When you look at that boy or that girl, that child, understand this. You are not alone in the raising of that child. God gave you that child to raise in cooperation with Him. And I'm challenging you, Mom, when you get heavy in spirit, when your life becomes a grief, when it is a burden to you, remember there is a burden bearer. Can I stop and say something else? Not only does our society believe a lie about the sanctity of life and when life begins and what how precious life is to God, but our society is embracing a lie today. North American society in particular is embracing a lie that children are a burden, not a blessing. With all of my heart, I say to you in this room, don't ever adopt that attitude. Children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. And children are always and forever to be regarded as a blessing. And every human being ought to have in their heart a desire to bring children into the world for the honor and glory of God. Because God is interested in human life. God is interested in children. God is interested in a godly heritage. And I counsel you never look at and believe the lie of Satan, the lie of this world, that children are a burden and not a blessing. But Mom, I'm saying to you, don't miss this point. If you are burdened in the raising of your children, you have a partner. If you're not careful, you will fall beneath the crushing load of responsibility given to you by God in trying to do it all yourself. Mom, you're not alone. I want to borrow from the Apostle Paul's terminology. He was not speaking about marriage, but he was speaking about the raising of Christians, the developing of Christian lives, which is equal to the developing of children who've been born into the world. Well, he's talking about people that have been born again. And you know what he said? He said, we are laborers together with God. I don't know what could be a greater encouragement to you than to embrace with all your heart and believe with all your heart, Mom, that you're not in this alone. God is side by side with you, and you don't have to do it all yourself. He will be right there with you and will accomplish the task with you as you trust in Him and lean upon Him. Paul said about the Galatian believers, he said, I travail. Travail is a word associated with giving birth. All throughout Scripture, I travail together again with you till Christ be formed in you. Here's what Paul was saying. I labored, I went through a lot of pain for you to be born again into the faith of Jesus Christ. And now I labor again as your father in the faith to see you mature, to see you grow in Christ, to make you like Christ. That's my responsibility. But he said, I don't do it alone. I am a co-laborer with Christ. Hey, Mom, I've noticed something in the Bible about God. Did you ever notice it? God's not afraid to say no. I'm one of his children, by the way, and God has said no to me many times in his word and many times in my conscience. God's not afraid to say no. Why would you? Mom, you're working together with God. Let God be your helper. Let God be your example. God has a plan. Now, if you're thinking specifically about this mother, Rebecca, go back, if you would, to chapter 25. And God reveals to her, as she inquires of the Lord, verse 23, the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. You know what I want you to see? God told her, I know what's going on, I know what's in your womb, and I know how it's going to come out, I know what's going to work out. In other words, God said, I'm in on this. This is my doing. This is my work. That you are bringing these children into the world for me and for my purposes, and you and I will work together in their life. Well, you know what I noticed also in verse number 28? The Bible makes a simple statement, and I'm not going to make a lot of it because I don't know all the story, but the Bible says Isaac, that's the father, loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So Rebecca, as a mother, wasn't perfect, and she bestowed extra favor on and had favoritism, as it were, toward Jacob over Esau. But God has a plan, Mom, and you need to cooperate with God's plan. You're not alone. The Bible says the foolish son is the heaviness of his mother, and there are a lot of burdens involved in motherhood, but God is involved. Go with me to Psalm 71. Psalm 71, and let's listen to the testimony of the psalmist in this regard. Psalm 71, and we'll begin in verse number 6. Psalm 71 and verse number 6. By thee, well, let me start in verse 5. Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Mom, God is involved. God was involved in the life of the psalmist. Since he was born, since he came forth from the womb, God has been holding him up. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Look over then at verse number 17. O God, thou hast taught me. So God held him up from his youth. Thou hast taught me from my youth. And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. I would suggest to you, Mom, that nothing will comfort you and nothing will strengthen you and nothing will help you in the bearing of the burden of motherhood than like the knowledge that God is involved, that God is with you. You're a partaker with God. You're cooperating with God. It's not up to you that they turn out right. God is working with you. All you need to do is bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. All you need to do is be there and love them and follow God's guidance. God says in Isaiah 44 about his people Israel, I made you, I formed you from the womb, and I am he which will help thee. I made you, I formed you, and I will help you. God is our helper. Why did God say in Deuteronomy chapter 6 to the Israelite parents, moms and dads, these words that I command you this day shall be in thy house? You shall talk of them diligently when thou walkest by the way, when thou sittest down at the table, when thou liest down at night. They shall be as frontlets on the doorposts of your house. God was saying, Mom and Dad, I am doing a work in your children, and you and I are cooperating together. Just expose them to my word. Pray with them. Teach them. And know this, you're not alone. And don't be afraid of what's going to be. Know that I will never forsake them. I'm working in their lives. Mom, if you want to be helped today with the burdens that you bear, cooperate with God. Number two, very simply, cooperate with your husband. Cooperate with your husband for the happiness of your home. You know, when a child is conceived in the womb, 50% of the genes, 50% of the DNA comes from dad, 50% from the mother. Now, there is a difference and there is a stronger element from one to the other, but there's a contribution. Male and female become one flesh in the life of a child. And God intended by that picture for us to understand that in the raising of that child, it takes a father and it takes a mother. Mom, cooperate with your husband. Involve your husband. Don't fight against your husband. And husbands, it's your responsibility to be involved in the raising of those children, to support your wife in the raising of those children. It will always work best when there's a 50-50 partnership, mother and father, one flesh. It takes the contribution of both of them. In this very book, Proverbs, where we learn that foolishness of a child is the heaviness of his mother, it begins in chapter 1 and verse 8, telling a son, listen to the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of thy mother. The instruction of your father, the law of your mother. Right from the very beginning, Solomon says, dad's involved, mom's involved. Son, follow both, listen to both. But how is he going to do that if dad's not involved? Or if mom and dad are fighting each other? I'm begging you today, moms and dads in this room, to understand that probably the single most determinative factor in the well-being of your child in their adult years has to do with how they observe your behavior one with another within the home as they're growing up as children. You need to love, husbands, your wife. It needs to be clear, visible, and evident. They need to hear you say it. They need to see you display it. They need to know. And they need to never see any disagreement or disharmony between you. You say, well, that's impossible. Yeah, you're right. It is impossible. There is disharmony. There is disunity. We have two people who become one. That can't happen without some degree of difficulty. But the children don't have to be exposed to it. You can settle your differences like adults. You can work out your problems like adults outside the view of your children. They need to never hear dad be cross with mom or mom be cross with dad. They need to see a mom and a dad who love each other, who support each other. They need to see a mom and dad. They need to hear these words from their dad and from their mom. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Let's sit down together with the Word of God and work this out. Let's find out what God has to say. I'm saying to you, Mom, your burden will be far less intense. The heaviness will be far easier to deal with if you learn to cooperate first with God, secondly, with your life's partner. We're living in a world that is trying to split apart men and women and trying to denigrate men and elevate women. And the Bible teaches that both are necessary. They both have an equal role. The Scripture commands the child to honor father and mother, to fear mother and father. Someone said one time, teamwork makes the dream work. Do you have a dream for your children? Then work together. Always go back to God's design. Work with one another, not against one another. The home is the training place for life. If a child wants to become a certain type of laborer or worker, what do? We put them in a place where they will learn how to be the best at that. We call it apprenticeship. We send them to a specific school. We take them to a specific place. Why? Because we want them to go where they can learn how it's done. You know how men and women learn how to live life and not be foolish? They learn in the crucible of the home. You are the training academy for the future generation. Mom, cooperate with your husband. Don't fight against your husband. If your husband won't cooperate, then pray for him, but don't fight against him. And cooperate with God. Number three, and I'll be done. I would encourage you in dealing with the heaviness of motherhood to cooperate with others who can contribute to the well-being of your home. God ordained the institution of government. God ordained the home, and God ordained the church. And throughout the course of my life was profoundly affected and shaped, not just by my mom and dad, but by my coaches, by my camp directors, by my counselors, by my teachers. My mom and dad were careful about where they let me go and who they exposed me to, but my mom and dad were wise enough to realize that they were not alone in this battle, that God had given others to help them in that ministry. And particularly a mother who doesn't have the cooperation of her husband needs the cooperation of others who can contribute to the well-being of the home. Every person in the world casts some measure of influence, a shadow of influence, and your children can be profoundly and positively influenced by those that God has provided as teachers and coaches and pastors and youth workers and camp directors. Are you listening to me, Mom? If you want to ease the possibility of the heaviness of a foolish son, stop right now, today, this moment, come to the altar and lay your tongue on the altar. And don't you ever again allow your children to hear you criticize a school teacher, a principal, a pastor, a coach, a teacher. You may not agree with them. You may believe they're right, but you are doing damage to your children if you are teaching them to disrespect authority and to criticize and question authority. You need to teach them to love and honor those in positions of respect. And if you can't respect them, take them out of that environment, but don't criticize them. Don't tear them down. You are doing a disservice to your children. God intends that the church, the pastor, the youth pastor, your Sunday school teacher, God intends that we bear one another's burdens, that we cooperate together and we work together. And you need these allies in the training of your children. The heaviness of a mother is a foolish son. But is it possible that we can make them foolish by criticizing those whom God has given authority, those whom God has placed in their life to help you? Mom, I would encourage you to stop being so ready to come to the defense of your children. My mother's been in heaven for almost 2 years now. I'm telling you right now, are you listening to me? I'm telling you right now, I can't remember one time, not once, not a single time in my entire childhood that my mother ever defended me in any kind of disagreement or problem with an authority in my life. Never once. Nor did my dad. As a matter of fact, the opposite was true. If I had a problem with them, my mom and dad decided, if you have a problem with an adult authority in your life, then there's obviously something you're doing wrong. And so now you got a problem with me. And if I got it at school, I got it at home. There was never any defending me. I'm saying to you, Mom, listen to me. A foolish son is the heaviness of mother. Motherhood is heavy enough. Motherhood is a burden enough to bear without the foolishness of a son or daughter. So in order to avoid that, cooperate with God. Cooperate with your husband. Cooperate with others. Work together. God has provided a means whereby you can grow your children in wisdom. Work with the authorities. Work with the people God has placed in your life. Or your children will one day work against them and, by the way, against you because they've learned to insist on their way rather than submit their will and accept the way of God. Mom, our hat's off to you. God gave you the toughest task in the world, but He equipped you for it. There's no explaining a mother's undying devotion and love without knowing that God put that in her. And by the way, there is no greater picture of God in the Bible than that of a mother. I know we call Him God our Father, but He is a mother. And Mom was made just like Dad was in the image of God. And fathers sometimes can be less compassionate, be more insistent on the rules, more straight, but Mom has compassion and love and patience beyond anything, and we thank God for you. I don't know if I've helped you this morning. I wanted to help you. Motherhood is not an easy thing. And kids, God has put it within our power. Whether you're old kids or young kids, God has put it within our power to make it easy for them. And God expects us to do it. He expects us to take the burden when they're old. He expects us. You know what Jesus did? when he was on the cross, the last words he said before he gave up the ghost, before he said it's finished, he saw his mother standing there. And he said, "Woman, behold thy son." And he looked at John and he said, "John," to John, "son, behold thy mother." And from that day forward, Mary, Jesus' mother, went to live with John. In the last moments of his life, in the midst of agonizing suffering, Jesus took time to honor the mother and said to someone, "You need, I'm transferring the care and responsibility from a mother to you." You understand that? God places a high premium on that. It's our responsibility. It's our power to take away the heaviness of a mother. Let's do it. Let's determine by God's grace to do it. But mom, don't go it alone. God is working with you. Recognize that. Walk with God and know that it will be not just you, but you and God together that will be bring the victory. And work with your husband. Parents, commit today to love each other, to live at peace and harmony in your home, so that your kids have security, so that they learn how it's supposed to be done, so they too one day will have a relationship and they know how to treat their life's partner, how to raise their children, how to love them, and cooperate with the others that God has brought into your life. Let's pray.